Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said,
"Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child, to destroy him."
Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet.
"Out of Egypt I have called my son."
When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah.
"A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more."
When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said,
"Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead."
Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled.
"He will be called a Nazarene."
The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Merry Christmas, right? That's what you get from this text today, right? Merry Christmas. Completely joy-filled, right? Merry Christmas. I jokingly call this Sunday often Lessons and Carols Sunday. And it wasn't until recently that I really figured out why every Sunday after Christmas is generally lessons and carols at my home church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I love those people, but I think it's because it is too painful to dive into the story of thousands of innocent children being slaughtered, and the millions of children that are still slaughtered today. And so it is hard. We easily want to stay in this joyful Christmas spirit. We want to stay enjoying the trees and the candles and the stillness. We want to have the song of Silent Night on our hearts and a little town of Bethlehem, which we will sing just a little later. We want to stay in that stillness and sweetness of Christmas. And this text jars us out of that. But, as Pastor Jason talked about in his sermon on Christmas Eve, he was talking about the complete and utter chaos that was happening all around Jesus that night in which he was born. The night in which our God came into the world, there was so much chaos going on. And yet God still came. He talked about how the chaos of that night is not much different than the chaos that we are having in our world today. And unfortunately, after reading this text, this chaos seems even more real. I can even more fully identify with what is happening in that time. because fear-motivated tyrants still rage in our world today. And children like Thomas, are still the most vulnerable in our world. Just think about that. This story is still happening. The heinous act of violence was not surprising to those that were living in this time. I was reading everywhere to try to figure out how these people must have felt. Of course, there's the weeping of the mothers over their deaths, the death of their children. But what I found was that most likely people weren't surprised that Herod did this. People weren't surprised that he sent people to murder children 2 years or younger in and around Bethlehem. It wasn't surprising. This was typical Herod. Now, one commentator said that as Americans, we can't fully understand what it is like to have that sort of situation. We can't fully understand what it is like to live in these oppressive times under this constant threat of fear. But I beg to differ. I think we know how to be Herod. We know how to occupy. Today, we remember the Battle of Wounded Knee that happened 129 years ago, where hundreds of indigenous people were murdered because we had the power and we were afraid. I think of the situation at our southern border where 10,000 migrant children are being held in detention, separated from their parents. I think of how the mass killings in the U.S. have reached a record high, and that 41 of these were mass shootings, meaning that there are four or more people that were killed besides the perpetrator. All of these things happen because hate and fear still very much exist today. And the people who are hating and are fearful are the people who are in power. And I think we also know what it's like to be complicit in these systems. I think that I am complicit in it. And we today said together that we are complicit in these systems that oppress others. We know what it's like. Because, friends, I have remained silent at times. I've gotten tired and I've remained silent about the children living in cages in our southern border. I've gotten tired and I've remained silent about the things indigenous people experience on their daily lives. I have remained silent about all of the things that are taking away the innocence of our children today. I think of those children working in factories. I think about the thousands of children today living in the U.S. foster care system, those who will age out, and everyone knows that most of the people who age out of foster care end up in the criminal justice system. And even though I'm passionate about those things, even though you may be passionate about those things or other different things, you may be passionate about these injustices, but I remain complicit. We remain complicit when we get tired, when we get caught up in the holiday season and want to just be with our families and celebrate. It can be so easy to forget those to whom are struggling daily. And just like the world into which Jesus was born, where tyrants lash out in these violent ways, we too know what it's like to have government or individuals who either perpetuate the mass slaughters of people or, at the very least, don't blink an eye at their demise. But we also know what it's like to stand up and resist the systems. We know what it's like to stand up and use our voices to fight against these things that are killing innocent people. As we've been studying Acts in our third Sunday teaching, I've been listening to things that y'all are passionate about. I hear those passionate about the issue of affordable housing in our area. I hear people passionate about interfaith dialogue. I hear people passionate about immigration reform, anti-racism work, the giving of our gifts each week that go to help people across our city and across the globe. There is work being done here. Y'all are speaking up. I've heard the desire in this community to not remain silent, to put flags and banners out front saying that we are a welcoming community. And I hear comments when people pass by this church, comments about those flags and banners. So even though there is so much to be fearful for, even though the Herods still reign today, we are, as best as we can, speaking up. I've heard this desire, and I think it comes from a desire to refuse. It comes from a place of refusing to be consoled. Like the women today in the story, they refuse to be consoled because their children were no more. And that is what I'm seeing. I am seeing people rising up throughout the country and throughout the world saying, enough is enough. And they have hope, but they are refusing to be consoled even when things are looking better because they know that it could still even be better. They are refusing to be consoled. And friends, that is a good place to be. Because having that anger, that righteous anger within you, gives you power to do this work in the world. It's a good place to be, don't get me wrong. It's also a hard and uncomfortable place to be. But we are there. I feel it in this community. And this is the good news, that just as Christ is born into a mess of a world, and just as the slaughter of the innocents and Herod's reign of terror try to convince us that God will not win, that the powers of evil will reign, even in that place, and especially in that place, God comes and is born. God comes to us and becomes our Emmanuel. Many commentators name that the good news in this story is that God protects Jesus, that God is there every step of the way leading Jesus. And yes, that is true. But I still struggle because I cannot turn away from the fact that on God's own watch, thousands of children under the age of 2 perish. But what I learned, and what I trust with every fiber of my being, is that even when the powers of this world seem to rage, even though the powers of this world seem to win over, they have not won. And that is because it is the righteous and perhaps even prophetic thing to do, is to not be consoled, to let the Spirit work through you and to not be consoled. It is this refusal to be consoled that I believe we talked about today at the font, when we said that we renounce all of these evils of the world, that we said that we would actively stand up, strengthened by the power of that water, strengthened at this table. We are able to live in the world and be unconsoled. And it's because we have this hope. We have the hope of the child that laid in the manger. We have the hope of the child that comes to us through the body and blood each Sunday. We have the hope that we get from one another. We have the reminder of hope when we see another child like Thomas being baptized and added to our family. We see this hope that God wins, that together in community, to borrow another line from Pastor Jason's sermon, that together in community, when we refuse to be consoled, there Christ is born. There Christ is born. And that is a gift. to be able to, through our own actions, bring about God's presence in the world. That is a gift and a beautiful opportunity not given to everyone. That was an opportunity given to Thomas today. And so even though we have this hard text, even though it would be so much easier to sit here and listen to lessons and carols, even though that's actually kind of what I wanted to do when I read the text for this week, it's more important for us to sit in this text, to see that the world has not changed that much from 2,000 years ago, and to see that still God is present, drawing us together, instilling hope into us, and giving us the opportunity to remain unconsoled, to not be consoled, and to be out there in the world, continuing to bear witness to just the brief glimpse of God that is given to us each Sunday, and especially during this season, in the gift of our Emmanuel lying in the manger. Amen.